Welcome to the Odds Breakers, number one place for shared, sharp betting information.
Welcome back to podcast 81 of 2021. I'm your host, Kiev O'Neill. Follow me on Twitter at OBKiev. Follow us to the Odds Breakers. Follow us on social media / the Odds Breakers. This episode is being brought to you by MyBookie.ag. For a 100% sign-up bonus, please visit MyBookie and use the promo code The Odds Breakers. Terms, conditions, and location apply. If you'd like to help us out with our costs and sponsor the website and the podcast, we'd love to help you out. Please visit theoddsbreakers.com, click shop, and become a member. Pick any of our cappers to get their premium plays before the line moves. You can also check out Patreon. Thank us for any free plays that might be hitting. And if nothing else, please visit theoddsbreakers.com and become a free picks newsletter subscriber. Crazy weekend, my friends. Actually, I got my ass kicked a little bit, down like 27 units since Friday. It was probably the worst weekend this year so far for me, and actually for a lot of cappers. Lots of the line moves did not go through. Lots of crazy upsets, especially in the NFL this week. And that's how it is when you're a high volume bettor. You take the good with the bad, and lately it's been a little bit bad, so we're going to turn this around. Lots of betting spots to discuss. This is a huge week of betting because I think there's just a ton of opportunity. We'll get into that in some of the motivational spots this week, especially in college football. Obviously, the big championship games are coming up, so that's interesting. But either way, we're going to start recapping a little bit of what happened last weekend. You know, so starting out, Wisconsin versus Nebraska. This is not one I bet. I'm glad I didn't. It went to 10. Wisconsin didn't cover. Nebraska did. And Nebraska did not turn over the ball a ton like they normally do. They did a little bit at the end of the game. But the reason that Wisconsin was so close, this thing was back and forth tied, is that Adrian Martinez was surgical. I mean, he was throwing perfect passes, like perfectly timed routes. Our defender would get there just a second after the guy caught it, but it was just perfect, catching in stride. I'd never seen Adrian Martinez play like that, and I have to give him a ton of props for that. 351 passing yards against the Badger defense. They actually were able to rush for 100 yards themselves. The good thing for Wisconsin is that Braylon Allen had 228 rushing yards himself and three TDs. And that's just pretty much how Wisconsin won the game, based on their offensive line and Braylon Allen. Paul Christ wasn't, I don't think he brought a lot to the table. They had some stupid third down plays and fourth down plays that just looked completely predictable, like that fullback John Chanel power on fourth and one. They run like every play. Nebraska pretty much moved to exactly where they shifted the defensive line to the exact hole John Chanel was running to, and there was no audible off it. Now, everyone's screaming at Graham Mertz because of that, but I'm not even sure if the team is trained to audible in that situation or many situations anyway. I think the reason that you see Jack Cohn do so well at Notre Dame is that they have a better offense than Wisconsin. They have a more creative offense. They have more an offense more with the times. Wisconsin still is kind of stuck in that 90s, 2000s mentality. And they're never going to get over the hump until that changes. You know, if you can have the greatest rushing game and the fact that teams don't practice or beef their team up just to stop the run these days because it's a passing league, means Wisconsin's always going to be a very good team. But you'll never get off over the hump and beat the 4- and 5-star recruits until you adjust that offense and start bringing some read options, RPOs, just some better crossing routes and things like that, that teams like Ohio State and Michigan is starting to run, and obviously Sarkisian's teams and Alabama. Alabama had to drop a little bit in my power ratings. Speaking of them, Arkansas really kept up with them. They did score that touchdown at the end to bring it within the one score, but it was kind of a garbage touchdown. But still, yeah, I give props to Arkansas for only losing by 7 in Tuscaloosa. And, you know, Alabama's a little bit vulnerable now. At the same time, I still have Alabama an easy third in my power ratings. I think the next person is like 6 or 7 points behind Alabama. But at the same time, Ohio State and Georgia are 4 or 5 points at least ahead of Alabama. It kind of goes Georgia 31.5 points, Ohio State 29, Alabama 25.5. And then, since I'm talking about it, I'll pull it up. I was just doing that from memory. Michigan, 17.75 points better. So there's a massive gap between Alabama and Michigan. But that does not mean that the committee is going to put the four best teams in the playoffs. They put the four most deserving teams in the playoffs, according to their minds. So, anyways, moving on. My bets got beat by a lot of special teams play. Maryland got killed by special teams. Syracuse killed by special teams. I think I had Syracuse plus 11.5. That closed at plus 10. Two special teams touchdowns for NC State. Without those, it's a cover. Those kind of situations really got me. Lots of coin flippy stuff as well. And that's going to happen. Normally, coin flip stuff evens out. But at the same time, my Wake Forest play, I knew that was gashed on that first drive when the penalty wasn't called on pass interference. I was like, I am definitely on the wrong side here. Wake Forest is not winning this game. And the rest of the game, it was all Clemson, Clemson, Clemson for the most part. So interesting spot there for Wake Forest. Now they have to beat Boston College, I believe, to retain their hopes of getting in the ACC championship game. So the ACC got really interesting due to that Wake Forest loss. Iowa keeps dropping in my power ratings. Played Illinois, won by 10, didn't quite cover. Illinois is really in that game for most of the game without their coach, Bielema, because Bielema had COVID. So just another situation where Iowa has gotten worse almost. They definitely have not improved throughout the season. One of those teams that started out really hot and then kind of fizzled off at the end. Ohio State, Michigan State, this is another sharp bet that lost. Lots of people took this over. Kyle was on it. I mean, it was his free play. I had a personal play on it. And Ohio State did their job. 56 points. All you needed was 10 points from Michigan State, and you couldn't even get that. They scored 7 in the fourth quarter. I mean, Ohio State's defense has definitely gotten better. But Michigan State went into the horseshoe and got completely intimidated. You know, absolutely intimidated and looked like absolute garbage against a much better team in the Ohio State Buckeyes.
You're fired.
That's what overbetters feel like, right? But going back to Notre Dame, 55-0 against Georgia Tech. 55-0. You know, what an ass stomping. I mean, Notre Dame is trying to run up scores right now because they know that they have a shot in the college football playoffs. And they certainly have a shot because the biggest game between Utah and Oregon went in complete shambles for the Pac-12. Oregon got their asses kicked in Utah. I mean, I don't know how Utah does it on the road, goes to loses to teams like BYU, Oregon State, you know. Was it San Diego State or something? I don't know. But when they're at home, they're feeling like whipping some people's ass.
Well, it's a great day for me to whoop somebody's ass.
You know, I haven't factored their home field advantage like it should be. It's almost like it's 6 or 7 points in Utah there. You know, it's massive. And Oregon was lost. They lost 38-7. Completely intimidated themselves from going into the Utah and playing. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the elevation. They should be used to that somewhat in the Pac-12. But geez, man, the hopes and dreams of the Oregon Ducks are now done. You know, there was that last spot that completely put them down. Ohio State is in the front runner. Cincinnati is feeling good, and Notre Dame has a shot here, especially if Georgia beats Alabama. All right. What else happened here in the college football weekend? Discuss the Clemson one. Baylor is a play that we actually made. Everyone was getting on Kansas State, and I figured it was because of the letdown spot because Baylor beat Oklahoma. But the reason I gave that out to our free subscribers, and if you haven't already and you're not a premium member, check out our free members plays. I gave a free member play where like 72 and 51 they're tracking since 2019. But I gave that Baylor away because of one reason and one reason only. Baylor was not that much in a letdown spot because they already had their letdown. Right? They already had their letdown in the TCU game. Now, do teams let down twice in one year? Sometimes, but it's much of a lesser letdown spot the second time around. So remember that when you're handicapping again. So that was a good one. Ohio and Oklahoma did take care of Iowa State 28-21. I had a personal play on Oklahoma. I tried to give it out on our Discord, but somebody told me that the Discord wasn't working. So I contacted the admins, and I'm going to try to get that fixed. If people can't chat on the Discord, please shoot me a message on Twitter and let me know what's going on there. I want to make sure that our new premium Discord is working. BYU didn't cover against Georgia Southern. This was a lean of mine. All my leans seemed to hit this weekend. And I just figured BYU looking to USC this weekend. they're a nice size favorite now, since USC is looking so terrible so far. And then you have Pittsburgh taking care of business against Virginia. This game went over. I really leaned the over on this one myself and was a little bit sad that I did not bet that one. But either way, Armstrong was back for Virginia, and that was the whole reason why I liked it. Well, leaned it, I guess. UAB, UTSA. We had a winner on UAB, but they should have won outright, and they completely bombed it because there was 4th and 1, and I know they were on their own 39-yard line or something like that, but there was over a minute left, and you knew damn well that UTSA was going to drive the whole field with a minute left. You know, if it's 4th and 1 right there, there's about a minute left or so, minute 30, you leave your offense on the field and go for it. You take the win right there because at least your defense still has a chance to stop UTSA. You're up by 4 points. They can't kick a field goal. That was a bad coaching move by Clark, in my opinion, because they punted it and UTSA drove the whole field, scored a touchdown, and won the game. You leave yourself susceptible to that kind of thing. You're playing prevent. They're getting big chunks of 20 yards underneath, you know, because your two receivers are taking the safeties down. And then the corners are obviously on them as well. You're leaving the whole middle of the field open. And that's why prevent kills teams, you know. And then just a couple sneaky plays to the tight end later and the team scores. So, in my opinion, UAB should have ran the ball and got that first down. But UTSA won it, and they remain undefeated because of it. What a massive win for UTSA. And finally, let's go back to another one of our losses here. Texas Tech could not score the ball at all against Oklahoma State. And I don't know why, but they had some chances. They put up some yards and just kept flaking out in the red zone. I mean, that's another plus 11 and a half that I'd bet again in this spot with Oklahoma State looking at Oklahoma. But Oklahoma State did not look motivated the first quarter. You know, it's just that Texas Tech just could not get the job done. Oklahoma State's defense did take care of business. Brutal loss for myself. And the other one I lost was Rutgers. Later play on Rutgers, it got through 18 and a half-ish. Thinking Penn State, all of a sudden their quarterback's out. Massive line value. Goes all the way down to 13. I'm sitting there with plus 18 and a half. Rutgers freaking, after such an amazing road record as a dog, completely loses this game, doesn't even really score. You know, Penn State at the end of that game had just wanted to put up the points on them. They kept going and going and going, and I knew Franklin does that, so that was my only worry before the game started. And there's some poor calls, some bad officiating in that game, but still, this is another game that I thought was a great handicap and a great win, but just did not turn out right for us.
Fucking bullshit!
Time for some NFL, and holy cow, is the NFL insane. I mean, if you want to talk about line value, almost every single bet we lost, except for the Titans minus 10, because it closed at 10, had perfect line value on it. You know, the under 50 in the Buffalo game closed at around 48, right? The under 49 in the Packers game closed 47.5, both completely busted, you know. Had the perfect minus 3 on Carolina. That thing was a juiced minus 3 at the end. I think it did hit 3.5 a couple times back and forth from juice minus 3 to 3.5. They're winning the game by 7 points for a long time, and Cam Newton just fizzled out, which was something I was a little bit worried about. Massive line value on Buffalo, minus 6.5, perfect even. Closed at about 7. That hit 7.5 a couple times. That was a loss. A big loss, too. I mean, they got their asses kicked by the Colts. And not only did they lose the side, I lost the under in that. Now, if that would have went back to 7.5 because of the weather, I was going to try to middle that one because I knew that the weather would hurt the running game and Buffalo can't run the ball. But not only that, Buffalo gave up plenty of yards to Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor pretty much hit the over himself. You know, scored like 50-some points in fantasy. And Buffalo's supposed to have the number one rushing defense, and they do in EPA. After last weekend, I'm not sure if that's going to stick, but Buffalo can't run the ball, and that was the big problem with them. The weather didn't even look all that bad, though. They really got punched in the mouth from the Indianapolis Colts. There is no team in the NFL that hasn't been vulnerable. It's absolutely been crazy. Right, you have minus 7, and they just lose by that. You have the Titans minus 10, they lose by like 9 points. You know, it almost feels like if a team's favored by 7 points, it means they could lose by 20 or win by 30. Lately in the NFL, been absolutely crazy. But you know, the worst line value I had was Arizona minus 2.5 because I bet it super early in the week, right? I thought that Kyler Murray was going to play because of that bad loss against Carolina, and I knew that Seattle wasn't that good of a team. And it, when Murray was announced out, that thing kept going down all week, and then it went to like 3.5, 3 or 3.5, plus 3.5. Terrible line value. And what happens? The Cardinals beat the shit out of them. You know, the one with the worst line value I had was the biggest winner of the weekend. I know what the market's saying right now. Man, and the teasers got killed too. How the hell does the one of the best offenses in football and the Dallas Cowboys go into one of the worst defenses? And not like the Chiefs defense was ever that great, but this year they are extra bad, extra terrible. They even let Jordan Love with the Packers get that last drive touchdown a couple weeks ago and only allow 9 points. Dallas only scores 9 freaking points. Not that Dallas's defense did bad, because the Chiefs only scored 19 points, right? Dallas's defense did their job, but their offense completely spluttered out. Absolutely insane. This was a like 57-58 total here, you know, massive total. But Dallas just completely changed to losers. It's just absolutely crazy. You know, it's like they're intimidated too. This was a teaser leg for me. Believe it or not, I had this teaser leg with the Bears. And this is when the Bears were 4.5-point dogs before Lamar was listed out. You know, a couple hours before that. So absolutely unreal what's going on with that. You know, the NFL just crazy lately. Absolutely freaking crazy. So the teasers killed me again. I only had two of them. But the Vikings side goes, you know, they beat the Packers. Vikings teaser leg won, and that was a crazy game too. Really back and forth second half there, and Rodgers tried to win that game, but Their defense just had a couple holes in it, and the Vikings, Kirk Cousins looked perfect. He looked surgical this game. And absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. I'm glad the Jets didn't get to four, because I would have bet the Jets. You know? I would have bet the Jets. And the Dolphins beat them by 7 points. Jets were one of the sharp sides of the week. One of the bets that I did win was the Eagles. You know, the Eagles, Saints almost came to the back door, but I used the Saints as my teaser leg with the Vikings earlier this week, and this was before their two offensive linemen, their two best offensive linemen were listed as out. I thought Kamara had a great chance of playing, but at the same time, I thought they still might have had a shot, but I mean, the Eagles just scored a ton of points, and the Eagles are still 5-6. They're still under 500 after all that. Absolutely insane. You know, bet I made late was the Jaguars. Finally got to 7. I'm like, okay, Niners are in the worst spot ever. Worst ever. They beat their rival, right? The LA Rams, their division rival, one of them. They're on a short week because they played Monday night. They're going into Jacksonville. Jacksonville coming off a loss. You know, perfect spot to bet the Jags. Jags were healthy. Man, Niners didn't even look back that game. Beat the crap out of the Jags. I mean, it's not like I'm looking for spots to bet the Jags, but here's where the short week and the letdown spot didn't factor in. It's because the Niners are kind of a desperate team, and they started hitting their stride. Beat the Rams, you know? That Cardinals loss, they came back a little bit the week before. They beat the Bears by a lot. Kittle just comes back, right, for the Rams game. Or for the Cardinals game, then they beat the Rams. They need these victories. So one mistake I made was spots don't make as much of a difference to a team that's better than their record. You know, they're still very motivated, no matter if it's a 1 day of rest or 6 or 8 or whatever. You know, that's a mistake I think I made in this game. But what can you do? 7 points, home dog, the NFL. That's what we were looking at. Bet that I did win was the Bengals at the Raiders. Glad that one came through. Would have been absolutely worse if that didn't. But the Bengals showed really well. You know, 32-13 is the final score. They were really never in trouble there. They're up pretty much the whole game. Well, they were down 3-0 from the start, but then tied it up and then scored the touchdown. And Raiders kept scoreless in the third quarter. I wasn't even that confident. This was probably my least confident bet that I made, and then was an easy win. So there you go with that one. And then obviously the Cardinals. Well, maybe I guess the Cardinals was my least confident since Murray was out. But I wasn't like completely not confident because I just have the Seahawks so low in my power rating. So I was kind of like, well, the Seahawks will probably win by, you know, a field goal maybe. But no, the Cardinals leading the whole way. And notice Wilson trying to force the ball to DK Metcalf too much. Sometimes when you have a star, the team feels obligated to try to feed him, and even though the defense knows it's coming. Awful coaching by Pete Carroll, in my opinion. Awful coaching. But, you know, there you go. Now, I mean, this Russell Wilson thing's not going to last. I think he's gone this year. I think he's going to play for the Steelers or something, you know. I would if I was Russell. You need a kind of a change of pace, you know. I mean, the team's kind of been wishy-washy with you that your whole career anyway. Very strange. Now, I did miss a little bit of the Chargers-Steelers game, but wow, the Steelers made a huge effort and a huge comeback. I don't know why the Chargers were throwing the ball when they were up with like 2 minutes left. Up by four, I believe, right? And then, or was it 7? I don't know. But either way, they throw the interception. And then the Steelers score immediately. They actually pull ahead. And the Chargers had to have a last-minute drive to win that game by 4 points. You know, I guess they could have got the field goal and tied it. But still, at least I had that in the circa, I guess. Went 3-2 in the circa. But Jesus, man. What a crazy game. And I almost bet the Steelers. If it would have got to 6.5, I would have bet the Steelers and pulled off with another win. But Steelers missing Minkah Fitzpatrick. The Steelers missing T.J. Watt. It was just a little bit too much for me to get to the window there. So I played the 6.5 in the Circa instead. And one of the few ones that went well for me this week. But anyways, that's the recap here. What's important now is looking forward, trying to find some value. And that's why we do this podcast, going with some misleading final scores. All right, let's get right into it then. College football week 12 misleading final scores. Nebraska outgained Wisconsin 452 to 397, yet lost 35 to 28, a 2-0 turnover ratio. Hurt them, and they just couldn't stop the run. Couldn't stop reeling out. Ohio outgained Toledo 445 to 401, yet lost 35 to 23, a 1-0 turnover ratio, and 5 sacks hurt them. Western Michigan outgained Eastern Michigan 485 to 422. Yet lost 22 to 21, a 2-0 turnover ratio hurt them. Miami, Ohio only outgained Bowling Green 346 to 258, yet won 34 to 7. Equal turnovers and just horrible red zone efficiency for the Falcons there. UNLV outgained San Diego State 394 to 290, yet lost 28 to 20. A 2-0 turnover ratio and bad efficiency hurt the Rebels. Iowa State outgained Oklahoma 361 to 305, yet lost 28-21. A 3-1 turnover ratio hurt them. I mean, what else is new with Iowa State box scores, right? Similar to Nebraska box scores. And yes, I still stand by saying Iowa State is the Nebraska of the Big 12. Iowa or Illinois outgained Iowa 312 to 255, yet lost 33 to 23. 2-1 turnover ratio, 10 penalties hurt the Illini. Washington outgained Colorado 426 to 183, yet lost 20 to 17. A 4-0 turnover ratio and horrible red zone efficiency hurt them very bad. That was very, very lopsided there. Virginia outgained Pittsburgh 514 to 509, yet lost 48 to 38. They also won the turnover battle 2-1, but they just crapped out on some drives and some plus territory and could not win the just run the ball at all. I mean, Virginia's a terrible running team. Middle Tennessee State outgained Old Dominion 414 to 394, yet lost 24 to 17. A 2-0 turnover ratio hurt Middle Tennessee State. UAB outgained UTSA 474 to 375, yet lost 34 to 31, a 1-0 turnover ratio, and stupid coaching, as I went over earlier, to punt that ball with over a minute left on 4th-and-1 destroyed the Blazers. Auburn outgained South Carolina 379 to 306, yet lost 21 to 17. Equal turnovers, but bad plus efficiency got the Tigers. Tried to, I actually bet that personally. I tried to send it out, but the number crashed, so I couldn't count it. And Colorado State outgained Hawaii 651 to 535, yet lost 50 to 45. A 3-2 turnover ratio hurt them, and 9 penalties. Now, this is the important one here, guys, because lots of stuff is going on. College football week 13 motivational spots, potential letdown spots. UTSA at North Texas after beating UAB in a close game is one. Utah hosting Colorado after beating Oregon straight up is one. Anyone who just got their 7th loss and won't go to a bowl game is a bad spot. Louisiana hosting Louisiana Monroe after beating Liberty is one. Get up spots. All teams with 16 with 6 wins. All 5 win teams so they can get to 6 and become bowl eligible is a get up spot. NC State now has a shot to get to the ACC title game by winning versus North Carolina. So remember that one. Also kind of an in-state rivalry there. Wake Forest controls their own destiny if they beat Boston College this week. They better get the hell up. And wow, what a spot for Boston College bettors. This is the spot that takes them over or pushes at the 7 for their win total. You know, wow. Can't believe Boston College is in. I remember before the season, everybody and their mom was at Boston College. I almost did it, but I missed out on the 6.5. So I was like, I'm going to sit this one out, and thank God I did. Iowa has a shot if they beat Nebraska to get to the Big Ten championship game. Minnesota can upset Bucky from the Big Ten title game, so that's a bit get-up spot for Minnesota. You know how they would love to do that. If Iowa wins, Iowa goes. And Iowa's got a tough game at Nebraska. Baylor versus Texas Tech can get in the Big 12 title game with an Oklahoma State win. So they're going to want to beat Texas Tech. And the Mountain West is a mess. just wanted to mention that. All teams in the top are going to want to play hard. I mean, Boise State plays San Diego State. Potential look-ahead spots. Appalachian State looking past Georgia Southern to championship game with Louisiana. This is massive because they have absolutely no reason to win. Maybe they can get a better bowl game, but that would be it. Utah looking past Colorado to the Pac-12 championship is one for sure and a massive sandwich. Utah has no shot in making the playoffs. They could possibly even rest their guys. They don't want to get hurt for this, right? Think about that. Louisiana looking past Louisiana Monroe to the Sun Belt championship is one. And that's a sandwich as well because they just beat Liberty. But here's the problem. People say that Louisiana Monroe is their rival, but are they really that much of a rival? They've been crushing them for years. That's kind of the way I look at it. This is a big one. UTSA looking past North Texas to the Conference USA championship game is one for sure. They're in the game, but they have North Texas just kind of sitting there, you know. So very interesting. And I think North Texas, if I'm not wrong, is trying to get a sixth win. So we'll have to dive into that one a little bit more, see if that's been factored into the line. And Northern Illinois could be looking past Western Michigan to the MAC championship, but not so sure. I mean, Northern Illinois is in it either way, but Northern Illinois is kind of on a little bit of a roll, and I don't know if they're going to want to stop momentum. I guess they could rest their players, but not sure. Just be careful with that one. Next, we have NFL Week 12 misleading final scores. The Bears outgained the quarterbackless Ravens. Well, I guess Huntley was pretty good. 353-299, yet lost 16-13. Equal turnovers and horrible third and fourth down play calling by Nagy. And just all around coaching was awful for the Chicago Bears. I mean, I tweeted out Nagy's the worst coach. And I know that many people would say that David Culley is the worst coach, but I disagree. It's Nagy. Next, the Packers outgained the Vikings 467-408, yet lost, what was it, 34-31? And eight penalties kind of did them in. But, I mean, the Vikings at the same time got the opportune touchdowns. This was still a very close game. Not a massive discrepancy in yards, so maybe that's one I could have left off. The Titans outgained the Texans 420-190, yet lost 22-13. A 5-0 turnover ratio killed them. And the Chargers outgained the Steelers 533-300, yet only won 41-37. I mean, 233 yards, they probably should have won a lot more at home there. But 12 penalties really hurt them, and a 1-0 turnover ratio. All right, NFL motivational spots. All right, let's get into potential letdown spots. Minnesota at San Francisco after beating the Packers outright is one. Houston hosting the New York Jets after beating the Titans is one. Lucky that they're facing the Jets in this situation. Now, unfortunately, the Colts really isn't one because they're facing the Super Bowl champs here. I don't think it's a letdown spot if that's the case. Rest spots. Rams on extra rest versus the Packers on Thursday night is a massive rest spot because the Packers are on short rest hosting the Rams for Thursday night. Let's see what Matt Stafford's got for this game, right? I mean, he's played the Packers plenty of times on Thanksgiving. Broncos off the bye hosting the Chargers is a rest spot, and the Buccaneers are on a short week against the Colts this week, so we have that. There's really no look-ahead spots. This is the week really that I think that lots of upsets happened and everyone's going to be kind of motivated to win the next game. You know, my opinion, there's no team really sticking out to me that wants it. You know, after watching Tampa Bay lose a couple times, after watching the Rams lose, after watching Arizona get beat by the Panthers, right? The Packers just lost to the Vikings. All the top teams really have situations right now. So nobody's really looking ahead to anybody, in my opinion. Could be missing something too. So if I am, please tweet us at the Odds Breakers. Now let's get into a little free college football play for week 13. And my friends, I'm going to give you a special one because this is a Thursday night Thanksgiving college football game. We are going to the Egg Bowl where Mississippi is playing Mississippi State. Ole Miss, baby. Big game, obviously, for these teams. The question is, who's going to want to show up? Well, both of them will. I mean, Ole Miss wants to have a New Year's Bowl, right? Mississippi State's been rocking lately. They're going to want to have a good bowl. I think this is going to be a fantastic game coming up this weekend. But the way I look at it is this. Mississippi is the better team in my power ratings, and they have the better offense. Let's face it. I mean, Ole Miss with Lane Kiffin there, their explosiveness ranks 22nd. Ole Miss ranks 122. Their offensive line yards ranks 29th. Mississippi State's ranks 78th. What I will say is that Mississippi State has a really good success rate, ranking number 4, while Ole Miss ranks number 18th. So Mississippi State edges them out a little bit there. But I feel with the improvements on Ole Miss's defense, they've shown better. You know, I mean, holding Texas A&M to 19 points, holding Liberty to 14 points. You know, Liberty's a pretty good team. You know, they did lose at Auburn. I'll say that. But they went to Tennessee and won. Tennessee's a decent team. They beat Arkansas, number 25. They lost by 21 to Alabama. Mississippi State lost by more to Alabama. They have a 0.5 net yards per play advantage over Mississippi State. I think that Lane Kiffin is probably the better all-around coach coming into this. So we're going to make a small play on Ole Miss here in the Egg Bowl. You're going to also get some fans from Ole Miss there. I mean, obviously, it's in the same state, in-state rivalry. So we're going to go with Ole Miss here in this situation. And I think I'm going to go with the better quarterback here with Matt Corral for 1.5 stars.
Hot, fresh, with more covers in his first year than any rookie model ever. And an attitude that says, who cares? It's only fashion.
That Hansel's so hot right now.
All right, my friends, time for a little fantasy football with our guy, D Nasty. Now I'm happy to bring back our guy, D Nasty, for Fantasy Football Week 12. Dave, how you doing this week, my man?
I was a little down the dumps right now, man. I got steamrolled by Austin Eckler and Jonathan Taylor trains this week. I played them in about 6 leagues this week. I played one or the other, and I get steamrolled by all those teams just because of them.
Oh, and me too. The league that I had Jonathan Taylor in, the guy had Jalen Hurts, Austin Eckler, Joe Mixon,
wow,
Justin Jefferson, Zach Ertz. I mean, it was just an absolute bloodbath. Brandon Ayuk. I mean, so I'm getting 56.9 points from Taylor, and then of course in another league I'm playing against Jonathan Taylor, and I don't have any of those other guys, so pretty tough for me as well. But that's fantasy football, man. That's the way it goes.
Exactly. Some weeks it's just all about lineups and luck some weeks and who you're playing that week and what happens with their players. So that's a good example right there.
Yeah, it's a great example of how luck plays into fantasy football. But hey, we're trying to win. We have a couple weeks left before the playoffs, so hopefully we can figure out some good guys to pick up or to start this week, Dave. And let's get into the bye weeks. Who are we benching?
Sounds good. There's only 2 byes this week again, which a light week for byes again. 2 major ones, though, this week. The Kansas City Chiefs, so you're going to have a lot of major players on that team. Tyreek Hill, Pat Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Mecole Hardman, possibly. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who came back and looked very good this week. Darrell Williams, his backup. And then those are the main guys you're actually starting for the Chiefs. Cardinals, Kyler Murray, if he ever gets healthy. After the bye, he should be healthy. He was close to playing this week, but he was held out again this week. Colt McCoy did fill in admirably for him this week. DeAndre Hopkins, hopefully he'll be back after the bye as well. Christian Kirk, and you might be starting him in a few weeks. And then James Conner. And then Chase Edmonds, who's been hurt too as well. So hopefully a lot of these major players on the Cardinals are back after the bye, and that can help you during the playoff run.
Yeah, hopefully. And remember to get your guys started Thursday morning early. I would start them all Wednesday night because good old Thanksgiving. Three games, don't we have, Dave?
Yes, the first one's a snoozer, though. That's one I'm not looking forward to watching. The 3-7 Bears against the 0-9-1 Lions.
Hey, take it easy. The Bears are horrible, man. You have to convince me, man. I can't BS it. It's Nagy's completely incompetent. They play the Ravens without a bunch of guys and their backup quarterback and still find a way to lose that game. It's ridiculous, man.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's going to be a snoozer. But that doesn't mean DeAndre Swift's going to screw up, and that doesn't mean David Montgomery's going to screw up. So remember that. I mean, there's some teams with a lot of deficiencies, and the Saints are one of them. They're banged up, and they're going to be playing on Thanksgiving too.
That's going to actually be a good game. I think the Bills are in a slump right now too. They've lost two straight, going up against the Saints, who need a win as well. So that actually would be an interesting game to watch. Same with the Raiders and Cowboys. Raiders are reeling right now. They need a win. This is a must-win for the Raiders, I think. Cowboys are coming off a couple nice wins, so I'd be interesting to see those, watch those games and see who actually shows up to play, which Raiders team shows up and which Saints and Bills teams show up.
Yeah, the Raiders have been in complete free-for-all lately. It's just the Raider way, it seems. So, fool us all and pretend that they're good, and all of a sudden they're terrible. And, the Bears did beat the Raiders, and I was just about to say that that win's not aging that well for the Bears either. Well, your Packers lost this week, and I got to tell you, the Vikings they're a scrappy offensive team this year.
Yeah, but that Darren Sharper interception, I think, should have counted, but we won't get into that, though.
Okay, we can pick it apart later. Let's move into the key injuries for this week. Running back Michael Carter for the Jets hurt his ankle, and he looks like he's going to be missing 3 or 4 weeks from what I'm seeing, Dave. That's not good. That's going to bring people into the fantasy playoffs. Not that you're always starting Jets, but he was probably the best Jet this year, I would say.
Definitely, I agree with you.
And quarterback Justin Fields, rib injury. It doesn't look like he's going to play. You probably weren't starting him in most formats, maybe larger formats you were, or double quarterback formats, but just wanted to mention that. Andy Dalton is going to start most likely. Wide receiver Jarvis Landry exited the game versus the Lions. I think it was an ankle. It was knee. I was going to say ankle or knee. AJ Brown has a chest injury. It looks like he exited the game, so he's very questionable coming up too for his matchup. Wide receiver CeeDee Lamb has a concussion. Part of the reason the Cowboys were awful last week, if you had some Cowboys, you could have lost your fantasy game too. And Jordan Howard for the Eagles, he was playable by some people. I know Miles Sanders is back, but he has a knee sprain. We'll probably miss again, Dave.
Yeah, and then there's Jerick McKinnon, the backup for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's out with a hamstring injury. And then the major injury on the Packers line, Elgton Jenkins, torn ACL, so he's going to be out for the year. That's a major blow to the Packers offensive line, so just keep that in mind if you have Dylan or Aaron Jones when he comes back as well. But I think you got most of them covered, and then still Kyler Murray's still out with that injury as well.
Real quick, is Bakhtiari back?
Bakhtiari is not back yet. He had a setback, they're saying. So possibly he might be back in the next week or two, though.
Oh, okay. He did have a setback. I was wondering because I thought he was coming back last week. I don't remember seeing him.
And that's what I had. You had most of the ones that I had as well for the injuries.
All right, good. And, the waiver wire, we don't have to go too deep. I mean, we mentioned the same guys over and over. I'm pretty much just going to cover what sticks out. And what sticks out is obviously replacing some injuries. Running back Tevin Coleman for the Michael Carter injury is a must, I think. And obviously, Ty Johnson will get more play too. So Ty Johnson on the Jets might get more play for the Michael Carter injury. Wide receiver Rashad Higgins for the Landry injury. They have a lot of people banged up on Cleveland. Peoples-Jones, obviously they lost their Odell Beckham. So there you go. Wide receiver Chester Rogers for the A.J. Brown injury is a waiver wire pickup. Wide receiver Nick Westbrook, I believe it's Ekine. Am I saying that wrong, Dave?
I think that's correct.
Westbrook Ekine had 8 targets and pick him up for the A.J. Brown injury. And tight end Anthony Firkser had 7 targets this week, Dave.
All right, great. And then a couple other players here, too, of note. Tyrod Taylor, actually. I think I talked about him a little bit last week. He ran for 2 touchdowns this week. And he does have a good matchup this week. He's playing the Jets. So the guy you could plug in there for a bye, he actually has been playing very well lately. So he's only on 5% of leagues right now.
Good call.
And what's that?
Good call. There's actually 2 really bad teams playing each other this week, and we'll get into that.
And then Dontre Hilliard for the – we talked about Dante Foreman last week. Hilliard's owned in 0% of leagues right now, according to Yahoo. But actually, he's Foreman is 63% rostered. Hilliard can be picked up. Hilliard played 63% of the plays last week, and he had total of 50 snaps. So he played more than Peterson or Foreman this past week, and he had 10 targets and 8 catches for 47 yards and a touchdown. So definitely a guy you want to take a look at picking up, but that backfield is kind of hard to figure out right now. Another guy, Latavius Murray, you might have forgotten about. He's back. Him and Freeman are pretty much the running back by committee now for the Ravens. He looked good this week. And then Tyler Huntley, if Jackson is out again, Lamar Jackson is out again, you might want to keep an eye on that. Tyler Huntley was a late fill-in for Lamar Jackson, so keep an eye on that situation too. He'd be a good pickup again because he actually played pretty decent this week as a fill-in for Lamar Jackson. David Johnson only owned in 25% of leagues. His snap and share of percentages of plays have actually rose over the last week. Burkhead had 18 to his 13 carries, but he played on 53% of the plays compared to 43% for Burkhead. So they're playing the Jets this week, so it might be a nice bye week fill-in possibly for him. Cedric Wilson, with all the injuries to the Cowboys, with CeeDee Lamb out and Amari Cooper on the COVID list. So just keep an eye on him, too. He's out with COVID now.
Is Cedric going to, or is CeeDee Lamb out for sure?
They didn't say yet, but with Amari Cooper out, Cedric Wilson is still going to get more play. He had 7 targets this past week, all in the second half. So he's a guy you might want to keep an eye on. He's only owned in 25%. I'm sorry, he's owned in 2% of leagues right now. And MVS, he had a great game this past week. Mostly it was on a big chunk play, though, at the end. He did have a season-high 10 targets, though. Only owned in 9% of leagues this week and had over 100 yards and a touchdown this past week. And then some tight ends you might want to think about, too. Gerald Everett only owned at 21%. And Adam Trautman, who actually had a touchdown this past week, he has been playing more as well. So he's been on the way up, trending up as well.
Valdez-Scantling is what Dave's saying when he says MVS. So there you go. Good stuff, man. Let's move on to non-starters trending up for week 12. Who do you have?
All right, non-starters trending up. I'm going with Andy Dalton against the Port Lions defense. He was announced as a starter actually today, so you can pick him up confidently and start him this week against the Port Lions defense. That actually is a good matchup. He had 2 touchdowns, I believe, after he came in last week, Kiev. And he almost led the Bears to a win, but Matt Nagy killed that with all his poor play calling. And then another guy that I do like this week, I do like some of the Saints running back, Saints Mark Ingram again. I do like the Texans players against the poor Jets defense this week, and vice versa, the Jets against Texans. So I do like Ty Johnson against the poor Texans defense this week. I do like David Johnson too, or Rex Burkhead against the poor Jets defense. So that's a good matchup for both those running backs. And I like Tyrod Taylor this week against the Jets too as well. I do not still like Joe Flacco, though. Even though he did play well this past week, he actually might still be a good play, but still not that high on Joe Flacco. And then another one, Jalen Hurts, you're definitely starting him now. But Miles Sanders, you might have forgotten about him, playing a poor Giants defense. He did look good in his first week back last week, almost had 100 yards, 90-plus yards last week. So definitely get him back in your lineups. I do like Panthers this week against the poor Dolphins. DJ Moore, I think, could have a good game this week. He's been kind of flying under the radar lately. I like DJ Moore against the poor Dolphins defense. Do you like the Patriots? I like Mac Jones, who we talked about last week. I like him against the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee Titans have been struggling a little bit lately. Jaguars, I do like Trevor Lawrence against that poor Falcons defense. Falcons can't score with all their injuries, and they're just reeling on offense right now. I do like Trevor Lawrence and James Robinson against the Falcons. I do like the Ravens running backs. We just talked about Latavius Murray and Freeman against the Browns as well.
The Browns had a really good rush, D, but they've been also really injured. So something to think about here. And Lamar Jackson should be back. I mean, the dude must have been pretty sick to miss this game. He was sick a long time. Don't know what he has. Feels like it's worse than COVID than some other people.
Exactly.
Some of these people. All right, let's move on to, well, actually, I'll my turn to go with the non-starters, and I agree with a lot of those. Rashad Higgins, I don't know if you said him, versus a bad Ravens pass defense. I think he's going to get a ton of play with all Cleveland's injuries to their wide receiver core. I put Tyler Heinicke versus a bad Seattle defense for Washington. I think that is an
option. He's been balling lately. I like Heinicke. That's a good one. I forgot about him. I like that one.
Yeah, thank you. He's been doing great. And I agree with Tyrod Taylor versus a bad Jets defense and Andy Dalton versus a bad Lions defense. Obviously, you mentioned Trevor Lawrence, too. Great matchup against the Falcons. Wide receiver Brandon Cooks against a bad Jets defense. You got to throw him and pair him up with obviously the Tyrod Taylor. Jameson Crowder, I think he's not owned in a lot of leagues too. I could have thrown him. I think we already mentioned him on the waiver wire a few times, but he's going to have a good game against a bad Miami defense. And running back Javonte Williams versus a bad Chargers run defense. I think Melvin Gordon is now in the doghouse. He had that nasty fumble their last game, and they're going through the bye week. This could be Javonte Williams' game, and the Chargers are the worst run defense in the NFL. David Montgomery, and it's the bad Lions defense, and I think they're going to stick to the run a little bit too. They're not going to make Andy Dalton throw all day versus the Cryans. And let's move on to Bus. I put quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, and this is a mad Carolina defense. They're playing, after their loss last week. Tua's not exactly a lighted up guy anyway. Can't trust starting him to win your league. Wide receiver Adam Thielen is playing a good 49ers defense, so I'm concerned for him. You can't bench Justin Jefferson, but Adam Thielen is questionable. He's been hot and cold this year, really. Quarterback Kirk Cousins, he's due for some regression, man, against the Niners defense. I don't like that spot for him either. Running back Devontae Foreman against the Patriots defense could very much bust, Dave. And I thought he was my sleeper last week, and he did really bad against against the Texans. What a bust that was. Oh, my God. Then you have running back Devin Singletary and Zach Moss against the Saints run D. Now, I know the Saints are really injured. It's mostly on offense. They have a few defensive guys injured. But I just can't trust the Bills run game anymore, especially when they had the opportunity to do something last week and didn't do nothing whatsoever. Yeah, the Bills look pretty bad. So those are my busts, Dave. And who are your busts?
Yeah, I agree with you on the Bills one. They're playing at New Orleans as well in the Dome. So I definitely agree with you on the Moss and Singletary. I'm also downgrading the Saints running backs as well. Ingram, like I was saying before, I don't like him either this week. Tony Jones is back. I don't like him either. If Kamara plays, you definitely have to start him. But otherwise, other than that, though, the Bills have to win this game. They've lost a couple straight games now, so they definitely need to play better than they were. Jonathan Taylor, you can't bench him.
You can't. Best running back in football, it seems like, at least this year, man.
But he is playing the tough Tampa Bay D's. Just keep that in mind. I'm not downgrading him at all. Like I said, he's a must start right now. But just keep in mind that he is playing a tough Tampa Bay defense, so you can't expect 50 points this week probably against the tough Tampa Bay D. And then I do agree with you on the Panthers. I don't see the Dolphins doing much against them. That is a good defense. They're an underrated defense. I don't see Gaskin or Tua doing anything against them. I don't like the Titans this week against the Patriots either. Even Tannehill struggled, though, actually, the last couple weeks. I don't see they getting any better against the tough Patriots D. The Patriots D has just been playing lights out the last 2-3 weeks. I don't like any of those running backs for the Titans or Tannehill against that tough Patriots defense. I think Burrow could struggle a little bit against the Steelers D if Watt is back. Watt is a big chunk of their defense, and he does change that defense. So if Watt is back, I think Burrow struggles, maybe mixing a little bit too. But if Matt Watt is still out, I do like the Bengals, though, in that matchup. You said, I do agree with you on the Viking wide receivers against the 49ers. Their defense is playing better now. And then the running backs against the Browns. The Browns actually defense has been playing pretty well. So we'll see what happens there. Like you said, they are banged up at linebacker in the line, though, so they can present somewhat of a challenge, though, for some of for Lemaire and Freeman, like you were saying. And then the Seahawks. Washington's defense has actually been playing much better, actually, lately, and they've won two straight. Keep this in mind, too. Washington's won two straight games. So has the Miami Dolphins. Winners are two straight for both of those teams. So they're actually, both the teams are playing well. So Russell Wilson had since he came back with that finger injury either. So I'm downgrading Russell Wilson against the Washington defense as well.
Yeah, I think Wilson might be toast. Now, Washington is missing their pass rushers, so this would be the spot where you would think he can do something. I mean, Washington's pass defense is bad, but man, Seattle's just 3-7 this year. I think he's going to move on from the Seahawks personally this year. I think it's over, but we'll see. You know, we'll see. Obviously, lots of football to play yet this year. So let's get into our nasty sleeper, Dave. And I'll start out here. I have quarterback Trevor Lawrence versus Atlanta. I think they're due to win again. The Falcons have a horrible defense, one of the worst pass defenses in the league. Might be the worst if you combine success rate with EPA. And the Jaguars, I think, really have a shot to win this game too. You know, I think I wouldn't necessarily pick the Atlanta Falcons here at Jacksonville in my pick 'em leagues. So I'm going with Trevor Lawrence, Dave.
I like it. I definitely like it. I'm going with that. It's not too sexy here, but my Thanksgiving gobble gobble, the nasty sleeper of the week is going to be Tyrod Taylor. He's been playing well since he came back from injury, and I think he continues his success against that poor Jets defense.
Tyrod Taylor. No, that's a good one. Yeah, he's played pretty well last week, and the Jets are a horrible defense. So that just like the ones we mentioned, you know, it's funny that these bad teams are playing each other, but somebody could pop one on you, and you'll be shocked seeing a guy like Andy Dalton throwing up a ton of points and ton of yards, and Tyrod Taylor, Tyler Heinicke. You know, it could happen. So Trevor Lawrence, just be careful for that. And if your quarterback has a bad matchup, you know, I'm not exactly in love with Tannehill, like you said. I think it's funny how Tannehill was good for a while and Wentz was bad. Now Wentz seems good and Tannehill's bad. You know, you might want to fit in one of these stinking quarterbacks here for the week 12, Dave. Anything else that we missed?
No, enjoy your Thanksgiving, everyone. Enjoy all the holiday eats. Eat tons and then watch lots of football.
Yes, watch lots of football, relax, and enjoy yourself. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you have any questions, feel free to tweet us at the Oddsbreakers. Have a great rest of your week, and go get some winners.